Hello and welcome to another episode of our Facts First podcast. Ako po si Christian Sierra, ang inyong host. So for today, pag-uusapan po natin ang kandidatura sa pagka-vice presidente ni dating congressman, party-list congressman Walden Bello. He's a professor of sociology. Kababalik lang niya galing sa United States of America from New York. We'd like to welcome you, sir, on this podcast. Maraming salamat po for joining us again.
Maraming salamat rin, Christian. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay. Kababalik niyo lang po from New York, no? So, kailan po kayo nakabalik?
Well, nakabalik ako nung November 16 at ngayon na-quarantine kami ng mga 5 araw. Magtatapos yung quarantine namin bukas. At pag magkakaroon kami ng swab test at pag negative, libre na kami sa kalabozo.
So gaano katagal po kayo sa United States po?
One lang yun. It's a regular 6-week stint of teaching sa State University of New York. I spend 6 weeks out of every year teaching there. Kasi nga they want me as a visiting person for over the last several years.
No? Adjunct so, professor.
Yeah. And it's an opportunity to catch up on the subjects I'm interested in. At mabuti naman na nawawala ako sa Pilipinas ng at least for 6 weeks para hindi nakabaon lagi sa politika o sa, you know, ating pag-iisip.
Okay. So ilang taon na kayo nagtuturo dito sa State University of New York sa Binghamton?
Matagal yan. Mula pa noong 2009. You know, so I spent 6 weeks out of every year there. Mm-hmm.
And you teach sociology or?
Yeah, I teach globalization and also the East Asian Developmental State. Yun yung karanasan ng mga iba-ibang mga ekonomiya ng Northeast and Southeast Asia sa development. Kaya comparative course yun. At masaya kasi maraming students from all over the world na comparing yung development experiences nila.
No, Northeast tsaka Southeast Asia, no? So,
hindi Japan, ba Korea, you know, Taiwan, Pilipinas, Thailand, yung ganun. Marami mga estudyante talaga mahilig sa comparative.
Okay. Hindi ba nagulat yung mga estudyante nyo na nag-decide kayo bigla to run for vice president? So, naisip nila, yung teacher namin ngayon, vice presidential candidate sa Pilipinas.
Oh, nagulat nga sila at marami naman sa mga academic colleagues ko na marami sa US at Europe na nagulat sila, pleasantly surprised, pero sabi ko na wala tayong choice kasi itong axis of evil ni Marcos and Duterte have to be confronted. So they understand why an academic like me has found it necessary na bumalik sa politika.
Pero for example sa United States, hindi po uncommon naman for academics like you to try politics, eh, no? So dito sa Pilipinas ganun din kumpara doon, no? Dito kasi marami nagugulat din, eh, no? Parang Walden Bello, kilala yan, academic congressman, very very competent, very very qualified, pero again laging tinitingnan yung chances nyo, eh, parang paano nyo babanggain yung mga malalaking pamilya, yung mga political clans. So, may ganung ding bang concerns na na-express sa inyo nung nalaman nila?
Yes. Kayo? Kasi pareho naman sa US and Europe, pag merong mga lines that you cross from yung academia to politics, and hindi marami ang nag-cross ng line na yan. So, but when it is crossed, naintindihan naman ng mga colleagues mo, naintindihan ng mga political activists, naintindihan rin ng mga academic colleagues of yours. So, of course, dito sa Pilipinas, siguro masasabi natin, siguro it's a bit rarer yung crossing lines between teaching, academia, and politics. No? Mm. And I think it should happen more often so that we don't have this inexperienced politicians at saka, you know, people who don't have not really looked at, for instance, yung economy and other issues. No, it's good to have a good academic background when you are in politics. Otherwise, talagang mababaong ka lang talaga sa very, very simple explanations kung ano nangyayari.
Oo nga. Pero nung kayo, when you were asked to run for vice president, did it take a lot of convincing from those people for you to join the 2022 elections?
Yes. Actually, Christian, ang nangyari dito eh, alam mo, noong, if I may just go for a few minutes dito.
Sige po.
I served in Congress from 2009 to 2015, no? So, and I was proud of yung mga achievements namin noon, like being principal sponsor of the Reproductive Health Bill, yung Marcos Victims Compensation Act, at saka yung extension of agrarian reform. Pero at that time, I thought that when I resigned out of principle kasi in protest doon sa double standards on corruption ni Noynoy Aquino, I thought that was the last time I was going to be in active parliamentary politics, no? And of course, I ran for the Senate in 2016, but that was also a time when my wife was dying of cancer. Kaya hindi talaga ako nakafocus sa run na yon. Ngayon, I really did not want to run. Yung mga aking mga friends and colleagues were urging me to run for president. I really did not want to kasi I think I was getting old, of course, no? Energy levels, and at this time you want to focus on what you really love, which is writing. Pero si Kaliodi of Laban ng Masa offered to run partly at my urging, and you know, I was very happy about that, but then he turned around and he asked me, will you please help me as my vice president? Pag tinanong naman ng presidential candidate mo yon, itinulak mo, can you refuse? It was an offer I could not refuse. So, but having plunged into the campaign, yan na. Todo-todo na.
Mm-hmm. So ito, bakbaka na. No? Kumbaga, nakikita ko social media, bardagula na. No? Ngayon bumalik na kayo dito sa Pilipinas.
Yeah. Once you put your hat into the ring, you have to go all the way. Of course, you respect the rules of truth and all of that. Pero politics is war, no? Politics is war by other means. Sabi nga ni to reverse yung sinabi ni Clausewitz, no? And you have to act that way. Of course, it has different rules, but you fight in order to win.
Okay. May nakikita ba kayong parang pagbabago doon sa ihip ng hangin lately kung saan yung mga kandidatong katulad nyo mas pinakikinggan, mas tumatatak sa mga botante, malamang yung mga sinasabi nyo? Kasi, pasensya na kayo kasi yung perspective ko minsan galing from a perspective of cynicism because of the very questionable and corrupt political and electoral system that you have, na nagiging very restrictive for even more competent candidates yung sistema mismo. Kasi nga, dominated siya ng mga political clans kung sino yung sikat at kung sino yung napakaraming pera. Pero ngayon, may napapansin ba kahit papano para mas pinakikinggan kayo?
Well, sa tingin ko, mas open ngayon ang media at mas open rin ngayon yung mga botante, no? Lalong-lalo na yung Generation Z, no? At saka yung mga Generation Millennials, no? So let me just take up a few points there, Christian, if I may, no? Apo. Unang-una, sa media, I noticed that there's more fair coverage of us at this point, no? Of the different television as well as radio networks, no? Nakita ko nga kanina yung sa Manila Daily Bulletin, merong silang survey, who will you vote for? Kasama na ron si Leonie de Guzman, no? So, and that's happening in many of the media. With respect to yung mga survey firms, no? And I kasi ma yung importante yung mga survey firms kasi alam mo naman yung the way that you know they help determine voter preferences, no? Meron pa rin kaming mga hesitations. They still have some hesitations in terms of seeing our candidacy as a serious one, no?
Yeah.
As we know naman, there's two survey firms na malalaki talaga rito, okay? There's Pulse Asia and there's the other one, no? Now, Pulse Asia, we have no problem. Pulse Asia has always reached out to make sure fair sila na isama kami sa mga coverage. Pero we're a bit disappointed to this other firm na nag-conduct sila ng survey noong October 20 to 23 at na-release na yung survey na yan and hindi nasama si Caliody de Guzman despite the fact that he had been already a candidate for 3 weeks before they conducted their survey. Ngayon, the only reason I'm raising this, Christian, is because, alam mo, because of the name of that firm, parang sinasabi nila, salimpusa lang kami, no? Hindi kami sinama. So, and we can't tolerate that because they're infringing on democratic rights and democratic rules. They're basically limiting the area of choice for voters. So I hope that these people stop violating itong basic electoral rules of electoral democracy. So, but when it comes to yung mga ating mga voters, nanonotice namin, especially sa social media, na mas malakas ang interest nila ngayon, especially on issues, no? And so I feel that this is something that may pagbabago, maybe not yet critical mass na pagbabago, pero it gives us hope.
Okay. Kanina sabi niya, politics is war, forced by other means. The lines have been drawn, I suppose, by this time, no? So sino yung tunay na kalaban as far as you and Caliody de Guzman are concerned?
Well, klaro naman kami that the main enemy here is the yung tinatawag namin Marcos Duterte axis of evil. No? You know, this will be a combination of the worst practices of the Marcos regime, okay, and the worst practices of the Duterte regime, okay. Especially in the area of violations of democratic rights and human rights, no? So we want to make sure that our country is not subjected to the return of darkness, no? And we will fight all the way in order to prevent this. We do not think that except for one, any of the other candidates are really serious about preventing a return to the past or the continuation of a bloody present. No? We don't think Pacquiao is serious, Moreno is serious, Lacson is serious. No? Vice President Robredo, we feel, is serious. Okay. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can, have all forces that are really serious about preventing a return to the past from becoming a reality. So, as you said, who's the enemy? It's the axis of evil of Marcos and Duterte.
Oo. Kaso papano nyo pala, ano? Paano kaya tatalunin yun? Kasi based on that same survey that you cited, that's a Social Weather Station survey conducted October 20 to 23, 47% ang Bongbong Marcos ng time na yan. Although again, hindi pa naman, sabi nilang mas importanteng survey yung after the deadline for the substitutions. Pero so far, siguro it's fairly reasonable to say na siya yung frontrunner, at least based on that particular snapshot of a particular time. So, sa tingin yes, nyo, paano tatalunin yun?
You know, well, first of all, you know, may questions ako about that survey. Christian. Unang-una, alam naman ng SWS na marirelease niyan nung nag-commission ng survey, no? So you know, and there are several things about the survey, including ignoring us as a serious force. That's questionable. So they better correct their methodology. Secondly, okay, he's getting 47% to 48%, but it's very early, okay, in the game. Nagsimula lang, no? At that time, hindi pa lumalabas yung conviction niya for his tax evasion, no? His non-tax reporting. And hindi pa lumalabas talaga ang mga crimes of the Marcos period, no? And we have all that data, no? Hindi pa lumalabas yung whole $5 to $10 billion that they salted abroad. Hindi pa lumalabas the fact that wala naman talagang programa si Marcos except to come back to power, you know. So I think that we have more than 6 months to go to show to the voters, no, that you know, this candidacy has feet of clay. It is trying to portray the 14 years of the dictatorship, the worst years in our history, as an era of light, no? And the truth will out, no? And the Filipino people are not stupid, okay? The Marcoses think they're stupid. That's why they are trying to create this image that it was a golden era. But as long as they're confronted with the truth and the media, okay, and the survey firms, okay, are fair to us, no, we will be able to bring that out. Alam mo, Christian, that's the first thing, no, that I would like to say. Lalabas namin yung record ng Marcos era and, of course, the Duterte era. But beyond that, we have a program, okay? We have a program that addresses in a fairly detailed fashion all the different aspects of yung national problems natin, no?
Mamaya, sir, ano, hihimayin natin yung platforma nyo. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Oh.
Yeah, ang sinasabi ko lang is that in order not to return to the past, you have to offer a vision for the future. Yeah. Kasi people are dissatisfied with the present. People are dissatisfied with the past. And, you know, we have to make sure that they look forward rather than go back to the distant past of the dark years of Marcos. So, programa talaga ang kailangan dito.
Sige. Bago po natin himayin yung ano, vision for the future nung tandem niya ni Calliope de Guzman, tanungin ko rin kayo tungkol dito sa ano. Of course, meron ng alliance ang Marcoses at ang Dutertes. Pero actually, it's just a Duterte, no? It's Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr., yung anak ng yumaong diktador, Ferdinand Marcos. Ang katambal niya sa 2022 election, si Sara Duterte, anak ni President Duterte. Pero recently, nadidinig natin yung dissatisfaction coming from President Duterte na binabanata na yung mga Marcoses, no? Recently, nagsalita siya, sinabi niya, one presidential candidate is on cocaine, no? Sabi niya, weak leader, kumaga, nakuha lang yung pangalan ng tatay, no? Hindi niya pinangalanan, pero of course, on social media, ang agam-agam, ang usap-usapan, he was referring to Bongbong Marcos. Now, itong split doon sa pamilya Duterte between the father and the daughter, kakampi nung Bongbong Marcos, but yung father, ang manok naman sa pagka-presidente, yung long-time alalay niya, si Bongo, na naging senador eventually, sa tingin niyo itong pagkakabiyak na to at yung pagbanat ni President Duterte kay Bongbong Marcos, do you think this could actually be good news for the other candidates, including you, to have a much better chance of defeating them?
Well, you know, first of all, doon sa pagbanat niya as a cocaine addict si Bongbong Marcos, well, he probably has sources you know, that tells him that that is true, no? So that he exposes that is something important to the campaign. But if what he is suggesting is that Bongbong Marcos should be subjected to extrajudicial execution because he is an addict, and, you know, when Duterte says something like that, that might be something he's suggesting. Well, we disagree, no? Because we don't think that even a Marcos should be subjected to extrajudicial execution. No, you know, he, you know, the thing is that he, you know, if he's an addict, that he should be, you know, put into rehabilitation. No, something which Duterte did not give more than 20,000 people, and he just killed them outright. No, but to come back to your question, yes, what we're saying is that, alam mo, itong, you know, these conflicts among the Dutertes and then itong napaka-complex na internecine warfare within the family and then the Marcoses meddling in this whole thing. You know, there yung tawag namin dito Dallas in Davao, no? Alam mo yung Dallas, yung series noon sa US na pakita rin dito about inter-family feuds, no? Well, alam mo, Christian, we should just let the Dutertes keep their conflicts to themselves and not involve the nation in it, no? In fact, they should just disappear, no? Rather than try to deviate our attention from the pressing problems of the country. Hindi naman maloloko yung mga tao rito na, you know, maybe gahol na gahol yung mga Duterte sa mga conflicts within their family and their relations with the Marcoses, but people can see beyond that and say, okay, tama na yan. Tama na yung sarsuela nyo. We want to to know real issues, real problems, and real solutions. So I feel this is another way that these people, itong mga elite politicians like the Dutertes and the Marcoses, really just see politics as a Game of Thrones. Okay, power for power's sake. You know? And patayan yan, you know, in terms of who gets what and how much. No? Mm-hmm. So as far as the country is concerned, please keep your fucking troubles to yourself. Get away, disappear, and let people who really have the solutions and the programs, you know, present themselves to the people. Tama na yung destruction ninyo. So am I confident that in the course of the next several months, this will happen? Yes. You know, the bankruptcy of this kind of personalistic dynastic politics will be shown to people. Of course, there's still a large sector of crazy DDS and super stupid Marcos loyalists, you know, that will be there to cheer their idiotic candidates on. But I think the vast majority of the Filipino people will see beyond their politics and will not be lulled into that. Yun ang tingin ko, Christian. Napaka baba ng paningin ito mga Duterte at Marcos sa mamamayang Pilipino na akala nila madadala tayo dito sa mga antics nila.
Okay. Nga pala, for the record, hindi pinangalanan ni President Duterte yung presidential bet na yun. No? Pero yun nga, yun ang deduction ng mga marami sa social media na he was indeed referring to this particular candidate. Anyway,
alam mo naman, Christian, itong problema, itong problema sa mga politiko natin, call a spade a spade, you must as well call Marcos the cocaine addict that you're referring to. You know, this is kunyari paraw. You know, alam na naman ng tao, he's referring to the Marcoses. Ano ba siya, duwag? Takot ba siya kay Bongbong Marcos? Crazy.
Okay. Ngayon, puntahan po natin yung plataforma ninyo ni Kalyo de Drisman. Ito very, very important. No? I think you're one of the, or baka kayo pa lang, yung naglabas ng fairly detailed political platform, if I'm not mistaken. No? Since you filed your certificates of candidacy. Okay, let's talk about solutions at yung vision for the country. Let's start with the vision. Ano ba yung nakikita yung mga pangunahing dapat tutukan at yung tututukan nyo actually kung sakaling palaring kayo sa 2022?
Well, klaro naman kami, Christian, na yung vision namin is what we call one of democratic socialism.
Yeah. No?
At breakdown namin yan into economic, political, and social. No?
Okay. Nga pala, Professor, ito lang. Definition of terms para sa mga nanonood sa atin kasi I don't want them to misconstrue yung labels. No? You are a socialist candidate. Ganun din si ano, si si Kalyo de Guzman. Of course, some people might have a different understanding of that. Liwanagin muna natin. Sige, in simple terms, when you say kayo ay isang socialistang kandidato, anong ibig sabihin nun?
Ibig sabihin yon both sa politics at sa economics, kailangan talaga ang mga mamayan ang nagko-control ng mga policies, no? That it is the citizens that directly or indirectly through their representatives determine policies, hindi yung malalaking interest na kapitalista, hindi yung mga big landlords, no? So basically yung idea is participation ng mga tao sa forging of policies, no? And we are responsible to them, no? So kaya nga sinasabi namin na magkaugnay yan, democratic in the sense that popular participation, and then socialist in the sense that the economy benefits everybody, okay, equally rather than just a few. Hindi naman pa nito, Christian, eh. Hindi naman bago itong concept na ito. Si Bernie Sanders sa US, socialista siya.
Yes.
Si Alexandra Cortez, no? So. Yeah, socialista siya. Si Jeremy Corbyn sa Britain, socialista siya. So basically, ang sinasabi lang namin dito is that the economy should not be run by a few and in the interest of a few, but the interest of the many. You know?
Okay.
That is what a democratic socialist vision is.
So how do you intend to apply that sa ano, sa kampanya? Ano yung pangunahing mensahe niyo?
Christian, napakahalaga kasi rito na unahin natin sa ekonomiya. Kasi alam mo, itong mga ating mga kandidato, kagaya nila Manny Pacquiao, nila Isko Moreno and others, ang analysis nila lagi is that ang problema ng bayan, corruption, no? Hindi kami tumututol na napaka-importante itong corruption as a problem for the country, no? But it goes beyond corruption. It is, sinasabi namin, structural, no? Dun sa ekonomiya, kaya Christian, if you may just allow me,
yes, sir,
mahalaga that alam mo ang pinakamalaking problema sa ating bayan yung pagbukas ng todo-todo ng ekonomiya natin, no? Sa mga imports, capital from abroad, no, na nagsira ng manufacturing natin, na nagsira ng agriculture natin. At ito na nga yung mga policies that were pushed by the World Bank, the IMF, and the World Trade Organization. No? To cut a long story short, itong mga pagbubukas ng todo-todo ekonomiya natin has created a situation whereby the only real sector that people now have as a refuge is labor export, no?
Yeah.
Nasira na ekonomiya, nasira na ang manufacturing. Saan sila pupunta?
Kundi
sa labor export, sa labas, no?
And that is being encouraged by policy. Is that what you're saying also?
That is what, ever since the Marcos period, okay? Ever since the Marcos period, total opening ang kwanyan, ang nangyari. And under the Duterte administration, they just carried that out further and further. Okay, so in order to be able to deal with many of the problems brought about by this, utang ng utang naman tayo, no? So instead of creating a wealth base within the country of manufacturing and agricultural sector na talagang prosperous, eh panay utang na utang in order to be able to address the problems created by the opening of the economy. No? The other thing, Christian, that I need to stress here is yung great degree of inequality dito sa atin. No? And alam mo yung 1% of the population controls probably around 50% of the wealth at this point in time, no? And this is unacceptable. And we have about 30% of the population in poverty, no? So meron kaming isang plano na we will tax the rich, no? The top 300 families will be taxed at the level of up to 3% of their income, and that will produce 1 trillion pesos, no? To be used for social programs, no? Beyond that, Ren, we need to stop yung hemorrhage natin of debt repayments that are going abroad. Do you know, Christian, that up to 40% in some years of our national budget is given in foreign debt payments, no? Mm-hmm. Kasi meron tayo yung automatic appropriations law.
Yeah,
so
tama.
Sa Congress. Kaya hemorrhage ito. Hemorrhage ng hemorrhage ng hemorrhage. And naturally, nawawalan ka ng sources for education, capital expenditures, infrastructure. So what happens is that in order to be able to put programs into motion, you have to borrow more from abroad. Ever since the Marcos period,
and then vicious
Marcos left us 26 billion pesos, now dollars. Now we're about more than $100 billion in debt, no? All because of these wrong policies. No?
So, yan po, specifically, how do you intend to stop that? Matagal ang problema yan, no? Yung hemorrhage and sa foreign debt payments. Tama yung sinasabi niyo sa mga nanonood sa atin, no? Automatic yan. Yung national budget every year, merong malaking chunk dyan, pambayad utang. So, hindi na yung kasama sa pinagdedebatihan.
At unconstitutional yan, no? Yes. Kasi sabi sa constitution is that the largest chunk of the budget should go to education.
Education.
Remember? Okay. But if you have 20, 30, 40% of the budget going to foreign debt repayments, that is unconstitutional. So we have an unconstitutional law called the Automatic Appropriations Act, no? Na sinasabi nito, Christian, na number one talaga, yung first cut in the budget goes to debt repayment. We need to repeal that, Christian. So first step talaga, we need to repeal that. Secondly, for 5 years, we're going to cancel debt payments. And of course, we are going to make sure that yung mga unjust debts ng Pilipinas will be unilaterally canceled. No? Okay. So it will take tough measures to do this, but hey, we're not here to please people. We're here to offer hard solutions to hard problems kasi hindi kami politiko. Mm-hmm. Okay? Hindi kami. Now, do you see Lacson offering that? Do you see Marcos offering that? Do you see the others offering that? No, they are just offering easy solutions. For instance, Lacson says, okay, free education with 5,000 per month for each student. No? Napaka-irresponsible niyan kung sinabi mo, saan mo kukunin yung pera? No? So you have to have sources of revenue to back up good social programs. Mm-hmm. And you can only do that if you are going to tax the rich. Mm-hmm. No? So wala kaming easy solutions ni Caliodi. Sinabi namin sa mga tao, ito yung mga hard solutions. We need you to help us out kasi talagang yung mga vested interests are going to try to stop us, no?
Oo.
We can only promise that we will go all the way for you, no? Mm-hmm. Pero pag hindi nyo kami sinuporta habang nasa Malacanang na kami, eh we're not going to get anywhere even if we're trying our best. So kasama talaga ang mga mami andito sa programa namin.
Okay, napaka-powerful ang message na yan, no? Pero itong taxing the rich, okay? How do you intend to do that? Ang kalaban nyo rito, mga higante. At madinig pa lang yung idea ng tax the rich. Mga kampanya definitely against the likes of you. or they won't even take you seriously.
Yes, of course, this will always be a problem, no? I think, you know, that if we can appeal to the people, no, in the process of legislation, to be able to push their representatives in Congress, you know, to support these tax measures, no, because this will need to be legislated, Christian. At ang kailangan talaga dyan, isama mo yung pressure from below, okay, and bring that to the halls of Congress to be able to push these measures through. So, as I said, it has to be mass pressure and good congressional lobbying strategy. Alam mo, Christian, I'll give you an example, okay, of how we were able to do this despite very strong vested interests against us. I'll just take one example, the reproductive health bill. Alam mo, Christian, we went up against the most one of the most powerful institutions in the country, the Catholic Church hierarchy. And we won in 2013 in getting the RH bill made into law. How did we do that? Through both mass pressure and smart lobbying, coalition building in Congress. And we can do that with taxes. We can do that with taxes. Of course, graduated yan. In the first, second, third, and fourth year, we really need to have a graduated effort, no? Na hindi lang todo-todo kaagad in the first year, 3% na yan. No?
Soft landing ng konti,
pero may kagat pa rin. Kakagat pa rin yan.
You know? So, pinag-uusapan natin dito, Professor, taxing the rich, at alam nyo, galing kayo sa Kongreso, napakatindi ng rent-seeking dyan. No? Antindi ng big lobby dyan. Tapos, okay. 70% ng Kongreso, hawak ng mga political dynasties. Mga political dynasties intertwined sa mga big businesses. I mean, antindi ng binabangga nyo dyan.
Totoo yan, Christian, pero what the backing that we're expect is to come from the poor and the middle class. No? Okay. That's the alliance that we're trying to build up, the middle class and the poor. And that's the workers, of course, the peasants. And yan yung, kasi hindi sapat na election lang. Hindi sapat na manalo lang kami. Importante rin, makamobilize kami ng isang mass movement around taxes in this case. No? So it's hard, Christian, but it's an uphill struggle, but you know, we'll give it our best.
Okay. Sige. Bukod dyan sa taxing the rich at saka yung pagka-cancel ng mga onerous debt payments, no? Ano pa yung hard solutions nyo to even more difficult problems? Pakinggan po natin.
Well, alam mo, Christian, meron na tayong dalawang batas ng agrarian reform. The original CARP law and then the 2009 Carper law to extend it. No? And yet, despite that, there's still 700,000 hectares of land that have been not distributed. 450,000 hectares of which are the best agricultural land in the country. You know, so number one talaga dyan is we really need to be able to push and finalize and complete the agrarian reform program. No? We need new legislation on that. No? And legislation that will cover the loopholes. Kasi daming loopholes yan eh. Okay. And then we'll prevent itong mga efforts to get back people's land, yung agrarian counter reform. No? Mm. So I think mahalaga yan. And let me just say there na that dapat in tandem yan with yung repeal of the Rice Tariffication Act. No?
Okay.
Kasi nga yung malaking malubha talaga yung problema nang nangyari dito, Rice Tariffication Act, nung nawawala ng todo-todo ang mga protection ng ating mga farmers. And what has happened is that in all areas of agriculture, we've been dumped on by subsidized imports from abroad. Kasi ang problema talaga sa agrikultura natin, Christian, hindi lang yung monopoly of land by the landlords, but also the fact, you know, that heavily subsidized imports from abroad, okay, have been dumped on Filipino farmers. They can't compete against highly subsidized Thai rice or highly subsidized Vietnamese rice. Kasi just to make this very clear, Christian, alam mo, yung cost of production, for instance, ng farmers sa Europe and sa US, up to 40% is taken up by state subsidies. Kaya, you know, they can afford. Mm-hmm. They can afford to dump things at very low prices mm-hmm. dito sa atin. Kasi their farmers have already made up through state subsidies yung profits nila.
No? Sinong wala tayo.
Sinong dehado? Tayo. At mm-hmm. alam mo, this is one of the most dangerous laws in our economy that was passed. The Villar promoted Rice Tariffication Act. Now, maski si Senator Pangilinan, who's running for vice president, supported it. I mean, this is crazy. He's supposed to be a farmer's advocate. No? But I just wanted to make that as an example of what we really need to... It's mahirap. I mean, these are genuine issues that we need, really need to tackle. Kaya lang, there's no way about it. No?
So repeal lang isusulo nyo, hindi lang basic na amendment, no? As in, ibabasura yung rice tariffication law.
Yes, repeal. Uh-oh. At saka hindi lang yan, Christian, hindi lang yan, we are going to freeze compliance with all WTO directives.
Can we afford to do that? Lang,
huh?
Can we afford to do that?
Yes, and we have to do it now because the WTO is at its weakest point over the last several decades.
Hindi ba, kasi nga, baka naman ang tingin dyan sa ganyang perspective, sabihin medyo isolationist kayo.
Hindi. Look, who has violated these rules? The United States, through Trump, violated these rules.
Yeah.
Vietnam violates these rules. Thailand violates these rules with all the subsidies. Kaya, everybody else is violating WTO rules. It's only the Philippines that is not, no? And the WTO cannot enforce its rule at this point because the judicial dispute settlement mechanism is not working. No?
Okay.
So we should...
So may opening.
May opening tayo ngayon. The problem is that our technocrats and our economists are so blind. They're not following what's happening. Unlike us, we follow day to day yung nangyayari sa WTO. Here is an opportunity. What do they do? They're so ignorant of what opportunities to save our farmers.
Okay. Ito, pero syempre immediate problem dito yung rice tariffication law, no? Hindi ba gumagana yung financial support mechanism as they promised? Because during the deliberations, sabi nila, we will allocate a big chunk.
Alam mo naman, money. Yan.
Support the farmer development.
No, that's kwan talaga. That's just to... That if you study that carefully, that's not really modernization. That's really to buy off the farmers, so that they move away from the land. Okay?
Para tumahimik na kayo.
Tumahimik na kayo. This is a way by which you go to the shanty towns in the cities. No? Get them there. In transition process yan. Alam mo, noong panahon ni Ramos, meron ring Agricultural Modernization Act. Precisely the same thing. Which was, maganda yung mga ideas, but actually it was just to finance the move away of farmers from the countryside and without real opportunities in the cities. No? So I'm not surprised na, maski yung pan, Christian, yung all the studies have been showing that the greatest contributor over the next several years to the poverty of our farmers is the Rice Tariffication Act. Even conservative studies.
At saka ganun din ba yung ganun pa rin ba yung data ngayon? Because the last time I saw data on this, medyo matagal na, no? Yung poverty incidence pinakamatindi sa agriculture sector.
Yes.
Ganun pa rin ba?
Yes.
Wala pang pagbabago?
Wala. Agriculture is really the sector that has been most heavily hit. Which is not to say that workers have not been hit too. Kasi alam mo naman, Christian, habang tinanggal lahat ng mga quota sa agriculture natin, pumasok ng todo-todo yung mga grain imports, pig imports, etc. Doon naman sa manufacturing, they brought down our tariffs to 1 to 4%. Can you imagine?
Uh-oh.
1 to 4%. Nasira lahat ng manufacturing natin. In 1995, we still had 200 textile and garment firms in the country. We still had a vibrant textile and garment industry. Now, we don't have those anymore. We don't have those anymore. What passes for manufacturing or industry in the country is yung mga call centers. Okay? Mm. And what do you do with the surplus population? You either farm them out to call centers or you farm them out abroad. That really has been the... Alam naman natin, yan naman katotohanan eh. It's just that our policymakers don't want to confront the disaster that they brought onto the country.
Kaya, actually, matagal na natin nadidinig yung problema yan. No? We don't have a strong manufacturing sector na across electoral cycles, pinapangako na ibang mga politiko na palakasin ang manufacturing sector. Pero mas lumalakas yata yung labor export policy. No? Palayasin na lang, mas madali instead of creating jobs for them here. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Kasi that's basically naging outlet yan. Naging outlet, instead of creating jobs in agriculture, instead of creating jobs in manufacturing, get people out so that they will send their income here to support their families.
Okay.
No? So yan, labor export has become the default strategy. And this is unsustainable. Uh-oh. This is unsustainable. So... at nakakaawa, Christian, I was the head of the Committee on Overseas Workers Affairs for 5 years. No? It's terrible. Our workers are subjected to so much abuse abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Rape is a normal fact of life in Saudi Arabia. No? One of the things that I pushed when I was head of the Committee on Overseas Workers Affairs, huwag na tayo magpadala ng domestics sa Saudi Arabia kasi rinerape lang sila roon. No? And so, it's time that our people, our workers, begin to see that labor export is not a solution but a problem for them. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they have to help us. We have to help them to raise their voices, you know, to demand jobs here in the country. No?
Okay.
So, maganda nga itong election na ito, Christian, kasi... and maganda na naroon kami because we are raising the hard issues and the hard solutions. Hindi kami politiko ni Kaliodi eh. You know, that is why we can do this, no?
So I suppose you're itching to have the debates, no? So you can also confront other candidates doon sa solution na isinusulong nila. Kasi yun sa inyo very 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 clear and definitely hard solutions yung pinopropose yun.
Well, panalo na kami kasi yung analysis nila, everything stems from corruption. And sinasabi namin, yes, corruption is an important factor, but even more important are the structures of oppression, the structures of subordination that have been forged, the class structures in the country. Those are the most important things. No?
Kaso paano nyo po ipapaintindihan sa mga ordinary voters? Kasi
no, I think that, can do it.
Yung pag sinabing structural, as a word sa messaging, paano mo naman paano ka makikipag-compete doon sa isang kandidato sinasabi, hindi, corruption ang issue. O kaya si Duterte ng 2016, hindi, droga ang problema. I mean, they didn't really bother to talk about complicated problems, di ba? Which is what you're doing now.
Which we need to do, but we can also simplify that. Kasi pagpunta namin sa rural areas, sa kanayunan, masasabi namin yan, maintindihan ng mga tao na yung pagbuhos ng imports dito sa atin, naranasan na nila lahat dyan. Eh. Onion farmers, vegetable farmers, poultry, and hogs. They've experienced that. So, ipapakita lang namin na galing ito sa policies. No?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with taxation. No? Na yung rates of inequality. Alam naman ng mga tao that there's something wrong, you know, when there's too few rich and so many poor. Ipapakita lang talaga namin kung saan nanggagaling yan in terms of sa yung struktura ng ekonomiya at yung mga policies ng ating mga politiko that serve the big interests. Sa tingin namin, maintindihan ng mga tao yan.
And you think kayo ni Kalyo de Divisman are in a good position to talk about those things. Kasi kunwari, ikumpara yung Sal Enya, no? Although wala naman kayong Sal Enya yung technical, wala ka sa gobyerno, no? Yung net worth nyo, basically, pag kinumpara dun sa net worth ng ibang mga tumatakbo, maliwanag naman siguro kayo ang mga pinakamahirap ng taong buha.
Well, I'm sure, I'm sure of that. Siguro, kami ni Lenny at si Vice President Robredo will probably have the smallest Sal Enya there. Pero importante yung ganyan, yung comparison ng mga Sal Enya, pero as you said, wala kaming Sal Enya. Pero sila may papakita yan. Pero yung we can have the, what I'm saying is that it's people feel what the problem is in their bones. And it's up to us to draw out their feelings and make them, help them understand that it is coming from structures of oppression.
Okay. Isusunod naman po na gusto ko itanong sa inyo. Bala ko rin ito itanong sa ibang mga sa ibang mga kandidato. Under the years of the Duterte administration, even before, no? So nagkaroon talaga ng problema in terms of strengthening political institutions, for instance, and other institutions in our society, no? Specifically, for example, law enforcement, pag-usapan natin yan. Yung under President Duterte, ang impression talaga or reality, yung Philippine National Police naging tool ni President Duterte definitely doon sa pag-wage niya ng drug war. Paano niyo aayusin ang PNP? Hindi lang in terms of image, but in terms of institutional reform.
Well, first of all, ang tingin namin is that we have to cut the budget of the PNP, okay? Because we think, and the military, because I think a lot of that budget is just, sources of supporting surplus personnel, no? And also is a source of corruption. And so, ang tingin ho namin, Christian, is up to from a third to a half of the military and police budget will be reallocated to social services. So that's the first thing.
No? Half of their budget?
Yes. Okay. To social services. No? Yung pangalawa riyan is that kailangan talaga that we upgrade yung mga recruitment, no? And training of the police, no? And the military. Napakahalaga talaga nito na magkaroon ng isang sound ethical and moral training ang ating mga kapulisan at saka ating mga sundalo. Okay? At mahalaga rin na all instances of police abuse and military abuse, including for extrajudicial executions, should really be brought to justice. No? They should really, really, really be prosecuted and brought to justice. No? So mahalaga kasi unless there is that cleansing that takes place, no? Unless there is that purification that takes place, and if it is shown that we're just going to tolerate the same old abuses, wala talaga mangyayari. And finally, kailangan talagang itaas yung mga salaries ng ating mga public servants. Hindi lang yung mga police at saka mga sundalo, kundi all of our public servants should really have decent wages that allow them to survive without having to become part of a corrupt system. No? Mm-hmm. So I think that we can do that while eliminating all the fat in terms of the budget. And also, okay, tama na itong mga presidential intelligence funds that are taking up so many millions. And, you know, maybe, you know, those really are just sources of corruption and of abuse. No? So yun yung mahalagang mahalaga rito sa ating mga for dealing with the police. So judicial prosecution, reallocation of the budget, okay, ethical training, and then of course yung
salary,
salaries
of all
naman natin as, yeah,
government for workers in general. Okay,
yeah,
right. Kay President Duterte, anong plano niyo sa kanya? Kasi every year, every change in administration, ang pinag-uusapan ng iba dyan, masyado raw vindictive yung mga sumusunod. On the other hand naman, ang discussion dyan, kasi hindi natin pinapapanagot yung mga nagkasala doong previous administrations. Kaya paulit-ulit yung cycle natin. For example, yung panahon ni ERAP, di ba? He was convicted of plunder. Napatunay yung mandarambong, pero he was promptly pardoned by Gloria Arroyo. Tapos and so on and so forth. Dito kay President Duterte, kung sakaling manalo kayo ni Calio de Divisman, anong plano niyo sa kanya?
Alam mo, Christian, we're already committed. We've said it several times. Okay, we are going to prosecute him within the national judicial system. Okay. And we're also going to cooperate with the International Criminal Court in bringing him to justice. So, we will both have national and international processes, which will eventually bring him for trial in The Hague. And this man does not deserve to be a senator. He deserves to be in a cell in The Hague. No, so we're determined to make sure that he gets transported to The Hague for human rights abuses and extrajudicial executions. No? And mahalagang mahalaga dyan yung role ng mga young judicial prosecutors, idealistic, as well as people who are very experienced and uncompromising, kagaya ni Senator Laila de Lima. No? Which one of the first things that we will do is to release Senator de Lima from jail, because it is the executive, you know, that brought her to jail and has not been able to prove the case against her. And it will be the executive that will release her. No? Incidentally, this is where we differ with Isko Moreno, who says it's around the judicial system that will determine this. It's the executive that brought the charges. Hindi ba alam ni Isko Moreno that it's also the executive that can withdraw the charges? I mean, you don't need to be a lawyer to do that. So that is our plan. And determined kami rin, no, okay, to do that.
Dito naman sa mga...
And,
sige po. Pinag-usapan natin kanina, binanggit nyo ang kalaban dito, maliwanag, the axis of quote-unquote evil. Sure. Ng mga Marcoses tsaka mga Dutertes. Doon sa mga Marcoses, paano nyo, ano yung plano nyo sa kanila? Kasi doon sa estimate, di ba, ang ninakaw nila sa kaba ng bayan, at least $10 billion. At wala pa sa kalahati noon yung nare-recover ng PCGG. So, hirap na hirap silang hanapin yung mga tinagong nakaw na yaman ng mga Marcoses tsaka ng mga cronies nila. 35 years na next year since the declaration of return of democracy, no? Tapos 50 years since the declaration of martial law. Anong plano niyo, yung mga konkretong plano niyo para mas papanagutin ang mga Marcoses?
Well, unang-una, we are going to launch cases against Bongbong Marcos and the other Marcoses for having participated in the concealment of plundered wealth from the country, no? And we will do that with a fresh core of young and idealistic lawyers, you know, which will be able to work with international investigators to trace where the Marcos money went. No, we feel that what was lacking in the past was a determined effort, you know, on the part of prosecutors, no, and investigators, no, some of whom were bought off with Marcos money. No? So, kaya napakahalaga yung role ng idealistic young lawyers in this whole process. No? At yung gusto ko rin masabi dyan, Christian, is naipakita that if you are determined, you can get that wealth. Look what happened. noong 1990s, the Swiss government, okay, confiscated, you know, some $350 million worth of Marcos wealth that were hidden in different Swiss charities. They turned that over to the Philippine government. The Philippine government then used that money, you know, after a Supreme Court ruling, to be able to compensate yung victims of martial law, okay? Which, you know, was part of the law that we passed, yung Marcos era compensation law in 2013. No? So we were able to compensate about 11,000 people. Although yung mga nag-apply was about 70,000. Yeah. No? So basically, I think that and when we finally got that money, it amounted to about $650 million with interests. No? So ang sense ko lang kasi is that with determined efforts of investigation and prosecution, we will be able to get the money, no, back. So, so first order of business is we'll be launching, you know, prosecution and cases against the Marcoses for their participation in the concealment of wealth. No,
anong plano niyo sa PCGG?
Well, I think that we really need. Alam mo naman, if an institution has ceased to really be vigorous, rather than maintaining it, it is probably better to just phase it out and have a new institution in its place. No? Mm-hmm. So, so tingin ko naman, we'll be able to set up a new, more vigorous replacement for the PCGG, so that it doesn't get affected by all the vested interests and compromises that has been made by the PCGG. So, ang tingin ko lang is abolition of the PCGG and its replacement by a new institution, fresh, not filled with vested interests, and to which we will assign the best and the brightest of our young lawyers.
Mukhang kailangan po natin ng part 2 dito sa ating interview kasi marami pa akong gusto itanong sa inyo. Pero definitely, I will invite you again. Pero before we end, gusto kong tanongin ang plano nyo sa China. Yung China policy ni Duterte. Meron tayong Hague ruling. Maliwanag pa sa sikat ng araw. Yung panalo ng Pilipinas doon sa Permanent Court of Arbitration. But of course, Duterte decided to set that aside. For the first few years of his administration, and lately, medyo nag-iingay siya, no? So under a Cagliotti and Waldenbelio administration, how do you intend to deal with China? And of course, specifically, how do you intend to handle the West Philippine Sea?
Well, as you know, Christian, I was the author of the resolution in Congress that renamed the South China Sea, the West Philippine Sea.
Yung ano to, yung exclusive economic zone na tinutukoy.
Yeah. And that was passed around 2012. I brought that up in 2012. And before it could go into plenary discussion, the Aquino administration immediately adopted the name West Philippine Sea because it adopted my resolution without having to go through the legislative process. The second thing that I would like to say is that I led a mission in 2011 to the Spratlys of Congress people, and we had a flag ceremony over there to assert our rights in the area. First of all, yung assertion ng rights natin is going to be a very, very important part of our China policy, our assertion in the rights. Everything that China does, okay, that violates our rights, we're going to denounce, no? Unlike Duterte, who muzzled even Secretary Locsin a few months ago, wag na kayong magsalita, that si Harry Roque na lang And of course, Harry Rockets only just said good things about China. No? Secondly, we will uphold the Hague ruling that basically declared null and void China's claims in the whole South China Sea.
Okay? 9-9.
The 9-9. No? So we have international law on our side. No? So ang sense ko is malakas ang international law when you also have morality on your side. Okay? And this is what we have. Si Duterte basically gave up, you know, our moral rights in the area in order to be able to please Xi Jinping. No? So it's going to be a whole new ball game. No? We will be fighting for a very, you know, we will be countering each of China's moves. Not that we will go to war, but that every move that China makes will have a diplomatic response from us and our people. Okay, but we are, however, not going the other way, which is to fall into the hands of the United States. Okay, because alam mo, it's the conflict between these two superpowers that over the South China Sea, West Philippine Sea, we're parang sinasandwich tayo sa ilang isang imperial fight. Eh. And sinasabi natin sa kanila, no, you know, we're not going to take any of your sides, no, because the U.S. is just waiting for us, you know, to be on its side in order to be able to push its aggressive policies towards China. So, tama na itong the Aquino administration went all the way with the U.S. The Duterte administration has gone all the way with China. We're basically saying it's time for an independent foreign policy. And we're not going to side with any of these big elephants that are making us a battlefield in order to pursue their interests. So we'll have a new principled policy in the area. And tama na yung, it's been shameful, our history over the last several years under Duterte of constantly pleasing China.
Okay. Professor Walden Velio, maraming salamat po. Very enlightening discussion, very interesting solutions, hard solutions to even harder problems. Maraming salamat po for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's it for our episode today. I'm Christian Esguera. Mapapanood niyo po ang aming episode sa aking YouTube channel. And of course, you can listen to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. Maraming salamat po for joining us today.